Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you and we are the people of your pasture. Lord, we are your servants. And we ask for your Spirit to come, Lord, and fill us and to change us and to transform us and to help us be more like Jesus. Lord, that's our prayer. Help us to live and to love like Jesus. Open our eyes this morning, Lord, so we might be changed and conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was growing up, I was a huge sports fan. And my favorite TV show was either Bugs Bunny or whatever sport was on TV. And if you can remember, on Saturday mornings, or on Saturdays, they used to have the ABC's Wide World of Sports. And I used to watch that show almost religiously. Monday Night Football, I would watch. I would watch football on Saturday. I would watch basketball. I just loved sports. I loved the competition. And I can remember I had a football. And in my den, on Monday nights, I would watch Mark Clayton and Mark Duper and Dan Marino as often as I could. And I would throw the ball up and I would dive in my den floor. I'd play on my knees and I'd dive and try to make the catch. And I would tap the ball to try to catch it. And I just loved watching football. And some of my heroes were on the Miami Dolphins. I loved the Miami Dolphins. And then when basketball season would come around, I loved watching Shaq play at LSU. If you didn't ever watch Shaq and Chris Jackson play at LSU, you missed out. Go watch those boys play. They were something to watch. And I had a Nerf basketball goal in my den, and we had a ceiling kind of like this one. It went up, and I could shoot my Nerf basketball and make it, and I would watch the Final Four in the March Madness tournament, and I had my Nerf ball, and kind of like we would play in your room, I played all the time by myself. I didn't have anybody to play with, but I loved it. And then baseball season would come, and I loved the St. Louis Cardinals, and I'd play wiffle ball, and I had a friend, we could play some wiffle ball, and I loved watching Michael Jordan play, and all of these people I emulated, and I wanted to be Michael Jordan, and be Shaq, and be Mark Clayton, Mark Clayton, he's the Miami Dolphins guy, and I wanted to be these guys, I emulated them. And then I grew up a little bit and decided that maybe not so much I wasn't going to be an NFL player. I know that might be surprising to some of y'all, but I realized I wasn't going to be an NFL player, probably wasn't going to be an NBA player, and baseball, I just wasn't my thing anymore. And I realized that rather than wanting to be a sports star, that maybe I should want to be more like Jesus. Amen. And my life was transformed in seventh grade when I gave my life to the Lord at a youth camp and decided and knew that I was a sinful man and decided that that wasn't going to be my lifestyle. I wanted to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and I wanted to follow him. And at that point, it wasn't be like Mike. It wasn't be like Shaq. It became be like Jesus. And my hope is that so many years later, that maybe I've made some progress. I know I've still got lots to make, but I want to be like Jesus. If you have your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're studying this year on truth in 2020, and that truth matters in our world, and we're seeing our society in upheaval, and we're seeing things go on that are some good, but lots of not good too, and we're seeing that lies are being sold and propagated, and that when you turn on to watch things, that you don't know if what you're hearing is true or not. Or when you pull your phone up, is this true or not? And you have people making arguments. And my hope and prayer for us this year is that we're digging into the Word of God and we're trying to figure out, well, what does the Bible say? Because we know that that is true. And if we want to be like Jesus, then we need to know what the Bible says, because Jesus knew his Father's Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. And so he knew what the truth of God was, and he proclaimed it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 has been our verse for the year. Verses for the year. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That is our goal and our hope. We as Christians are fighting lies with the truth of God. And if we want to be like Jesus, Jesus was a man on mission who gave his life for the truth. Literally gave his life for the truth. And one of the last words that he said to Pilate was, "I'm here to tell the truth. And if I die for it, so be it." We are not here as Christians to do what feels right or to be popular in people's eyes. No, that is not our goal. Our goal is to be faithful to the only eyes that matter. That is the eyes of heaven that watch us. And so my hope and prayer and my encouragement for each of you, Christian, for each of you hearing today, is please God with your actions, with your thoughts, with your desires. Seek to please the Lord your God and not anybody that's around you. Ultimately, we're seeking to please our God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Let's begin there. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let me read that again. Make sure you don't miss that. Whoever says he abides in God ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, who's he? When he's talking about the way he walked, who's he talking about? Jesus, of course. Jesus, the embodiment of God, came and walked and showed us, and John lived with him, and John walked with him. And he's saying that if we are going to say we abide with the Lord, then we need to walk in the way that Jesus walked. And let me keep going. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Now, this passage in John is an incredibly insightful passage for us. And I'm going to stop right here, and I want to zoom in and focus on what verse 6 says. And verse 6 makes it very simple for you and I. It makes it very clear for you and me to understand what does it mean then for those who are going to abide or live as a Christian. Those who are going to abide in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is simple, y'all. And like Belinda tells me all the time, it might be simple, but it's not easy, but it's simple. And if we can focus on the simple idea of what Christianity really is, it may not be easy for us, but at least we know what we're supposed to do. And when we mess up, when we fail, we know, well, we got to get back on track because we know the simple goal of Christianity. So let's read that verse 6 again with me, if you will. Craig's got it up here. Whoever says he abides in him ought to do what? Well, to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. This is our focus for the day. And then he begins, and I don't know if you in your Bible, if you're looking down at your Bible, you might have a new section marker there. And this is one of those places where the section markers are oftentimes helpful, but this one I feel like almost breaks the thought for you. There's not really a break in thought as John is writing this. And he says we ought to walk in the way that Jesus walked. And he's saying, I'm not telling you anything new. This is not new, but this is an old commandment that you had. In other words, you need to be like God, and that's been from the beginning. And the Lord has given us commandments throughout the entire Old Testament of ways in which to be like God. If you want to know what the character of God is, then you look at His Scripture and at His Word. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He walked in the commandments that God gave Him. Catch this, y'all. Jesus was perfect in every way so that you could receive the credit for his perfection. Y'all got that? There is no way you get to heaven. There is no way you can please God apart from the work of Jesus Christ. And so his perfect fulfillment of the law allows us to have a relationship with God and to enter into the Holy of Holies. To enter into the presence of God because he was good. That's why we can come and say how glorious, glorious, glorious you are, God. Because not only were you perfect in your Son, Jesus Christ, but you gave me the credit for it. So what now? You got credit for Jesus' perfection. How's that fit? I think of David going out to war against Goliath. And what did they do to David? You remember when he's going out to war? They dressed him up in this big armor until he comes out. And I think of like a seven-year-old coming out in grown man's clothing. You know, he's got the floppy jeans on and you know they're coming out past his feet and everything's drooping over him. That's kind of what I picture when I read that story. Look, this is the righteousness of Jesus on us. Way more than we can even bear with our poor bodies and souls. But Jesus clothes us in his righteousness. This is beautiful, y'all. This is so good. So how did Jesus walk? Let me get back to the point here. How did Jesus walk? Now, I reminded you, one of the last things that Jesus said when he was on trial was, for this reason, it's in John 18, 37, if you want the reference, for this reason, for this purpose, I was born, and for this reason, I came to the earth. Tell me, church, what was it? Oh, it's not up there. See, y'all don't see it. For this reason, for this purpose, I was born, there it is, and for this purpose, I was born, and for this reason, I came to the earth to bear witness to the truth. This is massive. This is what our year is based on. This is what our lives should be based on. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. So if we're going to walk in the way that he walked, we need to go back and look at Jesus' life and say, okay, if Jesus said my purpose in coming is to bear witness to the truth, then shouldn't we take note of that and go, okay, all right. If we're going to walk like Jesus walked, let's see what Jesus did. Fair enough? Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. And this is why I chose for our verse of the month this month, Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I might walk in your what? In your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Now, how many of y'all still use a King James Bible? Anybody? All right, good. King James Bible, folks, y'all will recognize the phrase, verily, verily. Y'all are nodding. You've read the Gospels. You've recognized, verily, verily, I say unto you. And I told Allison this last night. I said, you know, I just made a connection. I just figured out. And I knew that meant, what's it mean, y'all? Truly, truly, I say to you. In some translations, like I think New King James might have truly, truly, I say to you. But the word veritas in Latin is, y'all should know it. I know my kids should know. What does it mean? It means truth. Veritas is truth. So he's saying, truly, truly, I say to you. In other words, I'm bearing the truth. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I'm saying to you. And Jesus taught these things throughout his ministry. I'm telling you the truth. Here it is. I'm coming to tell you the truth. So how did Jesus walk? He walked in the truth. And what was the truth that Jesus told us? Well, let's go back and see. He has a very similar statement to what John just told us in 1 John. So 1 John told us if we're going to walk like Jesus walked, that's how we know we abide in him. He says, I'm not giving you a new commandment. Well, Jesus said it like this. Look in John 13, 33. Jesus said it, and he does say, I am giving you a new commandment. In John 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you can't come. Now here are some of the Jesus' words to his disciples, some of his last teachings. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you abide in me. I mean, that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus says, I am giving you a new commandment. But it's very similar to the old commandment. Now you remember the two great commandments that Jesus gave when they asked him. Y'all help me out. What were the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave when he asked him, what's the most important commandment? Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. All right, first, Christian, I told y'all this morning, seek to please God more than anything else. When you love somebody, you want them happy. Find somebody in this room you love. You want them happy? When you love somebody, you want them happy. Secondly, y'all want to solve most of our cultural problems today? Go love your neighbor as yourself. It's simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. Go love everybody, no matter what they look like, as yourself. Treat people, everybody, the same. We have a foundation Jesus gave us of the commandment of love. And then he adds at the end, he says, here's a new way to understand it. Love as I've loved you. Love as I've loved you. Did Jesus treat people the same? We're going to find out. I asked my children this question. We were driving to Plaquemine yesterday, and I asked them the question. I said, y'all tell me. I want scripture to back it up. How did Jesus love people? So I'm going to ask you, church. If I got the mic and passed it around, we have time this morning. Y'all don't have anything to do today. Pass the mic around. Everybody's got to give one gospel reference of Jesus. That's you, Tiffany. I'm talking to you. One reference of Jesus and the way that he showed love. What do you pick? What do you pick? Jesus has a way of showing love. You pick a passage where he met somebody or was with somebody and showed love. What do you pick? Think about that. And it took us a while yesterday. Look, my family's been in church our whole lives. What passage do you pick of Jesus showing love, and how is that showing love? You know, we started off with things like, oh, God created the heavens and the earth. He gave us the world. Well, that's right, but that wasn't Jesus walking on the earth meeting somebody. I asked Miss Shirley yesterday. Going to get my hair cut. There's Miss Shirley walking out. Shirley, how did Jesus show love to people? She had a good answer. I'll share that one with you a little bit later. Jesus said to love as I have loved you. So what I want to do this morning, I've got a few minutes left, is walk through a few chapters of probably my favorite gospel, the Gospel of John, and show you specific ways in which Jesus showed love to people. And then I want to give you that to walk out the door and say, okay, if I'm to love as Jesus loved, this is what I can do. So if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let me share this with you. How do we love like Jesus loved? Well, I'm going to come back to that. John chapter 4. Starting in verse 9. Jesus ministered to everybody, regardless of who they were. He ministered to poor people. He ministered to rich people. He ministered to people that looked like him. He ministered to people from different countries. He ministered to children. He ministered to older people. It didn't matter. And let me give you one instance right here in John chapter 4. A Samaritan woman said to him, Now, if you know the history in the Bible, you know that Samaritans and Jews did not get along. Jews looked down on Samaritans. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews," and this is John's commentary, "for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So just in case you didn't know, John makes it very clear that there was division between these groups of people. Jesus don't care. And I know that's bad grammar. Jesus don't care. Oh wait, I'm not supposed to like you? Too bad, I do. The truth of God is that Jesus don't care about people that are different than him. Neither should we. Right? Simple. So Jesus answers her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you a drink of water." Or I'm sorry, he would have given you living water. So here's the crux of this. Jesus is willing to minister to whoever he can. And not only that, he's willing to give them what? More than just a drink of water. Okay? More than just a physical need. Now, as Christians, maybe we shouldn't be giving less than that. Maybe there are people that we need to minister in a very physical and tangible way. But if we do that apart from the truth, then we're missing out. We're missing doing love the way that Jesus did love. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Jesus came and he said, "Hey, you need more than just water. You need living water. You need new life." So how did Jesus love? He brought the truth. He brought the spiritual need to her. So when Jesus says later down the road in chapter 18, we can go back to 14 and say, yep, Jesus bore witness to the truth in chapter 4. John chapter 5. Jesus meets not a Samaritan, but he meets a lame man, a beggar on the street. People probably looked away from him. People knew he wasn't worth much, that this lame man couldn't help them, so they probably didn't interact with him a whole lot. Chapter 5, verse 2, "Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. In Aramaic is called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades, and in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed, people who couldn't help themselves in many ways. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there for 38 years, he was older than Jesus, been lying there longer than Jesus had been alive. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?'" Jesus asked the best questions. The sick man answered him, "Sir," doesn't even answer his question. Sick man doesn't even answer Jesus' question. Notice this. "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." "You want to be healed?" "Well, I can't get to the pool." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed and walk." In other words, you don't need a pool. You need me. Don't y'all love this? "And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked." At least he paid attention to what Jesus said. Go down to verse 14 now. "Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple." So Jesus comes. "Hey, do you want to be healed?" Listens to his answer. It's not related. And then heals him. Now watch verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Then what? Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Not only does Jesus heal his legs, but he gives him the truth that sin will lead you to worse things. So, what is the truth? What are worse things that sin leads him to? Or people in our day and age too. What are worse things? Well, as Christians, we believe in a doctrine called hell. And hell is a place where those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ go and suffer for their sin, for rejecting the Holy Spirit, for rejecting God. Jesus offers salvation to save people from that condemnation. For all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who come to him, can be saved from the penalty of their sin. So Warnell said he puts on Jesus, and when God looks at Warnell, he sees Jesus. If you do not come to Jesus and believe in Jesus, then when God looks upon you, he sees your sin. And like a good and just God, he punishes you for your sin. And he ought to. And we celebrate the fact that he does. Because he's a holy God. If you are not in Christ, I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved from the penalty of sin. And you can celebrate Jesus Christ the Lord yourself. As you come to him, you begin becoming like him. So hear that. Let me say it again. As you come to Jesus, you begin becoming more like him. And that's what we're talking about today. Living like Jesus. So Jesus heals this man. And later in chapter 5, certain people, they don't like that. Jesus is healing people. That's not good. Seems kind of odd, doesn't it? You mean Jesus is helping people? We don't like that. That seems kind of counterproductive, doesn't it? You see, the problem was the group of people that didn't like it, they didn't care about that man being healed. They didn't care about the people that Jesus was loving and teaching the truth and healing. They cared about their position and their power that they had in their society. And so they go, "We got to stop this Jesus. He's taking away our power." So verse 18. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to do what? To kill him. Let's knock this Jesus out before he loses our power. Let me ask you a question. That seems so mean and selfish. But y'all, we have this root in us too. You know how Jesus calls us to live a sacrificial life to others, going and serving others and living in a loving way? Do we sometimes say, I got other more important things to do? Are we there too sometimes? They were seeking to kill Jesus because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he told that man to take up his mat on the Sabbath. How could he? But he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Why did they want to kill him? He was breaking the Sabbath and what? What's it say? He was making himself equal to God. I got a real quick pop quiz for everybody. True or false? Jesus is equal to God. True or false? True. So guess what, y'all? All those people that were in power knew that Jesus came and he bore witness to what was true. You know, this wasn't a rumor. Jesus is saying that God is his Father. No, they heard him say it. Jesus told those guys, I am, the God is my Father. Chapter 18, Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Chapter 5, what's he doing? He's bear witness to the truth. We can't say Jesus didn't do what he said he came to do. Verse 45, chapter 5, how can you believe me when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think I will accuse you to my Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you set your hope. Jesus did not shy away from telling the truth, even to the people that were trying to kill him. Here's somebody not like me. You need salvation. Here's somebody who's lame. You need salvation. Here's somebody trying to kill me. You need salvation. Jesus don't care. He's bringing the truth. And that's the way that he showed love. If you go to a doctor and you have cancer, do you want him to lie to you or to say it's probably just a cold? Take some Tylenol. You want the doctor to tell you the truth, even when it's bad news. Simple illustration, right? Don't we want to hear the truth? If we are going to spend eternity paying for our sin debt, don't you want somebody to tell you the truth about how to be saved from that? All right, stop there. Don't you think if we're going to love our neighbor as ourself, that they should hear the truth from us? Right? I mean, this is just logic here, y'all. I'm not brain science or anything. Brain surgeon. Just logic. Even non-believers say, look, if you're a Christian and you don't tell other people about Jesus, you don't love people. John chapter 6. Oh man, I got to hurry. Y'all are slow today. What does Jesus do in John chapter 6? He feeds 5,000 people with fish and bread. And in verse 26, Jesus answered them, verily, 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 I say unto you, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. So Jesus had compassion, one of the other gospels said, on a crowd. They're hungry, they don't have anywhere to go. And y'all, like most mamas, oh man, my baby's hungry, I got to feed my baby. Jesus had compassion. He wanted to feed the people. And then he goes back to him and says, I'm telling you the truth. You're not following me because you saw signs and you think there's more. You're following me because you think I can give you another piece of bread. Or here's you some fish. Y'all are missing the point. Jesus told the truth. John chapter 18. Came to bear witness to the truth. John chapter 6. Jesus bear witness to the truth. Jesus says this. He follows it up with this. Do not work for the food that perishes, y'all, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, here's the truth. This is the work of God, that you believe on him in whom he has sent. You know, Jesus saves sinners. Jesus died on a cross, a brutal death to save sinners. And he says, y'all, believe in me. You can be saved. That fun ain't going to save you. That drug, it's not going to save you. That relationship is not going to save you. Believe that. That cell phone is not going to save you. That college education, it's not going to save you. That scholarship is not going to change. That 401k, guess what? Y'all can help me out. Not going to save you. Jesus saves. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. Amen. You want bread? I'm right here, Jesus said. I got you bread right here. You come to me, I'll feed you forever. That video game, you're going to be bored with it later today. That image you're looking for, it's gone. It's like a mist. Jesus said, I got your bread right here. You come, believe in me, be my disciple, and you will find life eternal. I told you at the beginning, I gave my life to Jesus at 13. I'm not sick of Jesus. He's still satisfying me. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All right, let me give you the quick rundown here. How did Jesus talk to people? John 18, Jesus says, I come to bear witness to the truth. John chapter 4, listen to Jesus' words. Woman at the well, the hour is coming, and now is here when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in what? Truth. Right there, boom. For the Father is seeking such people to worship. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You got to know the truth. I'm going to bear witness to it. John chapter 5, the misled religious leaders. There's another, verse 32, there's another who bears witness about me, talking about John, and I know that the testimony he bears about me is true. I'm verifying myself, John's testimony, we're lining up, we're telling you the truth. John chapter 6, at the bread, the hungry people, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you what? True bread from heaven. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, that the Father is true and right and good. So here's my application for you today. I have labored to tell you that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. That is how ultimately he loved people. Yes, he helped people who were hungry. Yes, he helped people that couldn't walk. Yes, he helped a woman at the well who was in other sin. But ultimately, the most loving thing that Jesus could do was bring them the gospel truth that brought them eternal salvation. So our application today, I hope, is simple. Hey, Christians, the most loving thing we can do for our neighbors, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter how old or young or big or small or how tinted they are, it doesn't matter. The most loving thing we can do is bear witness to the truth. That doesn't mean we neglect any of the other kind things and helpful things we can do for them. But if we do that without speaking truth with people, then we are not loving as Jesus loved and in the same way that Jesus loved. So my call for us as a church is go and minister to whoever you come in contact with. Don't be intimidated by anybody, whether they're in a higher position than you at your job, whether they're bigger than you or stronger than you, whatever it might be that intimidates you, and let's be bold and say, Lord, I want to love like Jesus loved, and in some way, find a way to turn people to the truth about Jesus Christ as the Savior of all people. And I stand with you. I know it's not easy. But it is simple. Let's love God. Let's love our neighbor. And let's bear witness to the truth in doing so. Let me close with this final verse. How does Jesus show his love? And this is what Paul said. But God demonstrates his own love or his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come to Jesus. Become like Jesus. Jesus saves sinners. And let us be, first, people that embrace that message in our own life, and secondly, people who proclaim that message in love to others. Let us pray together. Oh, Father, we're thankful that you have given us your Son. Help us be a people who bear witness to the truth as Jesus does. Lord, by your Spirit, awaken us, stir up in us a passion to make Jesus Christ known. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.